This is Erin Blanding for the People Science Podcast, and I'm here with Sarah Gaither. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So I was wondering if we could start out, if you could discuss your research and what impact you hope it has on your field.
Yeah, those are big, bold questions. So for those of you listening, I'm an assistant professor at Duke in the psychology and neuroscience department. I'm trained as a social psychologist, but also do work with developmental psychology, which means I basically look at how people make good and bad decisions about each other from childhood through adulthood. So I'm really interested in the role that our identities play in shaping not only how good we feel about ourselves, but also how those same identities impact the biases that we put onto other people when we meet them for the first time and when we're trying to socially categorize them when they're walking down the street. So for me, the kind of big picture impact that my work has is we really try in our lab at Duke to focus on underrepresented samples. A lot of psychology research to date really focuses on what we call convenience samples or easy to recruit samples, which are basically your white undergrads who are in classes for class credit. But I'm really interested in how identities from underrepresented groups may function uniquely compared to people from high status backgrounds, such as white individuals in our society. A lot of my work also focuses on multiracial identification, and I myself am biracial, even though I look super white. My dad is black, my mom is white. It's this whole secret part of my identity, I guess, in some ways. But I really hope that my work gets people to consider their snap judgments that they have when they meet someone new for the first time. All of us have multiple identities, whether they're visible or not. And so I really hope that my work is shifting this consideration that science has and that we as people have in knowing that everyone is a complex person in lots of ways. We're not just that one social category that you might see instantaneously.
That's really awesome, especially right now when a lot of conversation is being had about what identity means and how that plays into people's lives. So that's really cool to hear about.
Yeah, thanks. It keeps me very busy. I say oftentimes it's good and bad job security, right? There's always going to be a new identity issue to sort of think about. So
I was wondering, what impact has COVID-19 and the Black Lives Matter movement had or could potentially have on your research?
Yeah, it's had a lot of impacts in a lot of different ways. I think first regarding COVID, we do a lot of our research in person. So we bring participants from the communities, kids and families, and they come, and I have a team of about 20 undergraduates at Duke who help me run all of my sessions. And so that entire in-person component of my data collection is completely halted right now. There's a chance we'll be able to recruit participants in person this fall, but I personally am not feeling safe enough for anyone on my lab team to be doing that type of work in person. So we're shifting a lot of our research to online data collection now for health and safety reasons. And we've been having a pretty good response actually recruiting kids and families online since lots of kids are home for the summer. So that's one positive spin is running Zoom sessions now with kids rather than having to get kids to campus is actually increasing our abilities to recruit in some ways, but very limiting in the types of research questions we can ask since we have to do everything online. Regarding Black Lives Matter, the majority of my lab are underrepresented students. I am a psychology professor, as I said before, and a lot of my advisees on campus are also Black students. And so I've been spending a lot of time over the past few months trying to make sure students feel supported, making sure that Duke as a university and an entity is responding in positive ways, making sure that when we do come back to campus in the fall, that we can have a campus environment that is as ready as possible for this changing world. More specifically, as it relates to my research, though, we're finding that with the increases in protesting, this is now the largest movement in U.S. history. There are millions of people marching still every single weekend across the country, across all different racial and ethnic backgrounds. But at the same time, we're finding some people are now so over-concerned about saying the wrong thing about race that we're seeing that in some of our online data collection too. So we just recruited 150 white participants for a study online, and I would say a good 25% of them all basically called me racist or said the study was about them being racist, which is a much higher frequency than I normally see in the work that we do. And so I do think race being this very salient factor right now is shifting, I think, in particular, white people's racial and ethnic responses and identity, which we're trying to figure out how to account for in our work.
Gotcha. I'm really glad you're still able to collect data, even if it looks a little different.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
And so it's important to acknowledge that we're living through a very sad time with everything happening. But I think it's important to look for anything that can keep us moving forward and encouraged. And so I'm wondering, what excites you most about what's happening today?
I think, you know, COVID is horrible and it has killed so many people and disproportionately members of Black and Latino communities. But I think the one positive lining to COVID is because so many people are stuck at home, that's what has helped Black Lives Matter actually be the movement that it is. More people have free time. They're not at work. They want to be taking their kids to protest now. That's also exposing those kids, which are future generations, right, to why it is we need to be fighting systemic racism in our country, why it is Black lives really do truly matter, and why it is so many people are angry and fed up with the fact that we've been dealing with this for 400 years. So I think for me, that's one positive thing, is we're seeing groups of people for the first time, I think, really bond together in ways. And as a social psychologist who's really interested in how contact with people who are different kind of changes our attitudes, I think seeing so many different types of people all finally working together to help dismantle racism in our society has to be leading to some form of real change in comparison to previous attempts. We're seeing responses from the NFL that we've never seen before. We're seeing university responses for how they want to be teaching students going forward. These are all reactions that we haven't seen in previous forms of Black Lives Matter protests. And so I'm just excited that I think maybe people are finally starting to wake up.
Yeah. It's exciting. I'm only 19, but I've never seen anything like it. It's really
and
great.
I'm older than you and I haven't seen anything like it either.
Gotcha. We're seeing sort of the first steps in kind of awareness for a lot of people happening right now. And I'm wondering more of like a structural thing. What do you think is the first step in making your field more welcoming to people of color?
That's a big question. I think the first step is really just acknowledging if you even have any within your organization, within your department. I think there's a lot of individuals across academia, across higher ed, who take what we call a colorblind approach. So they don't see race, they don't see ethnicity. Mm-hmm. But without acknowledging if you have that diversity or not present where you are, you can't make any long-term change, right? So I think really the first step is judging yourself, right? Judging your own environment. Who's there and who's not there? And other people who are there, who has a seat at the table, right? Or who's in the room, if you want to make a Hamilton reference, right? Who has the power to actually be shifting these discussions? And I think the other thing we really need to be highlighting is where allies are going to be within these different departments and across the field of psychology. Not every department is going to be welcoming, but there are other people out there, right? So trying to build up networks, support systems to help people of color actually navigate those spaces, I think is absolutely key going forward.
Awesome. Okay. So you mentioned that you work with undergrads in your lab, and I'm wondering if you could give like one piece of advice to young people of color navigating the field that you work in. What could you say?
I think one thing I would say, particularly for any people of color in psychology and neuroscience departments that identify as STEM fields, so at Duke it does count as a STEM major, is first, you belong in those majors. I think there's a lot of pushback, particularly within neuroscience disciplines, that perhaps you don't see a lot of professors or research that looks like you, but you do 100% belong in psychology and neuroscience. Your ideas are valid. Your ideas are worthy to be heard in the classroom. And I would encourage all young generation members, I guess, to really speak up and think critically when they're reading those psychology textbooks in their classes on who is actually represented in the work that you're reading and who isn't represented. It's not to say that previous work is wrong, but if an entire field of psychology is based on studying white participants, then perhaps this is your chance as a rising person in the field to shift that angle, right? To shift that dialogue and discussion to make it more representative of people who look like you and that people who have been overlooked historically in psychology as a discipline.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. So this has been Erin Blanding, and I talk with Sarah Gaither, and I'm signing out for People Science.